You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
Cabinet ministers are discussing changes to the Corrections Act on what mail can be sent and received by prisoners. This comes after Corrections Minister Calvin Davis reveals that the alleged shooter of the Christchurch terror attacks had sent five letters to people unidentified by Corrections. One of these letters was sent to a supporter in Russia, which was then posted on the website 4chan, which is popular with alt-right and white supremacists. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says discussions in Cabinet included whether the current law takes into account mail being published to a wider audience or captures hate speech. However, Corrections Chief Executive Christine Stevenson accepted its staff could have withheld those letters under the current law. I spoke with Barrister Marie Dyberg on whether she thinks the current legislation is sufficient in stopping abusive, threatening content and hate speech sent from prisons.
The problem that seemed to be is that we've got someone who is a more difficult client. You know, we've got somebody who allegedly killed 52 people. Well, we don't like that. But doesn't matter whether you've killed one or 50. You need to look and say, what sort of dangers can this person pose while in prison to the outside world? What sort of incitement, you know, can they have to incite other people to commit crime, irrespective of how many you've killed? And I just think that 108 already does that. So that's the sort of thing that I can say, and just say that I hope that it doesn't, you know, escalate into something that makes it even more unworkable if you're trying to fit a particular type of person into a really tight box, when you've already got the ability to do that. And what you want is, when you have someone that you think is more at risk than others, then you hand it on to somebody really experienced, and you might even simply get a legal opinion. Does this particular letter that we have written, does this in any way fit into, as I say, is that section 108(1)(d). And that is where you look at promote or encourage the commission of an offence, or involve or facilitate the commission, you know, of possible offence. Well, if you're inciting someone to break the law or engage in hate speak or whatever, you've got all those laws that you can look at and say, well, if I look at this and I look at laws about inciting, you know, racial hatred and all that, he will fit into that. The laws are already there. We've got to be really careful about trying to have unwieldy legislation and try and put someone in a box that, you know, prevents that flexibility.
The fact that the mail got slipped out, that wasn't the fault of the legislation, that the law's already there, it's about applying it?
Yeah, that's exactly, or one, analysing it as well to see if it should be withheld, and if so, how much, all of it, or should it just be censored, redacted, or what, and so forth. So it really is, your first step is to say, is this something that fits within 108(1)(d), but I think it's all there, I've looked at that, and, you know, as I say, is not wanting to sound trite, but doesn't matter if you've killed one or 52, it may well be that whatever you are espousing in that letter may well fit into that. What you are doing is you being put on notice that because of the nature that the crime that someone's been charged with or convicted, but you've got to keep in mind charged, presumption of innocence, do they end up being in a high-risk category of someone who may well be able to breach these matters and cause offences outside through mail? And, of course, in this case, you will have someone who might have political beliefs. Well, they are disseminated through writings, aren't they? So, therefore, it's not as if he needs a gun to commit offences while he's inside. And he can't incite someone if he's got weapons inside. But he can through writings, or a person can through writings, incite crime. Therefore, has the ability to do that on the outside, and that's why you look very closely at mail going out and mail coming in.
I've been reading up, and the alleged Christchurch shooter mail is the most high profile one, but there's also been cases of people receiving abusive and threatening mail from family members. Is that something that, in your experience, happens quite common?
Yeah, it's sometimes the same at lawyers. You know, hey, you piece of shit, you didn't really represent me. But yeah, you don't need to define or get too unwieldy by saying it has to relate to family member, to a member of parliament, to whatever. You can't define it too much, because if you've got here a person, that can be a group or it can be any person. And so if you are threatening somebody from inside, either not to give evidence, or but that will fit in to the section where you promote or encourage the commission of an offence.
Okay, because one argument that has popped up is that with the digital age, does the law need to change to reflect that space better, or do you think it's better to leave it vaguer and more flexible?
It's not going to matter. It's still a form of communication, however that may come about, whether it is written or digital. So it doesn't matter. Any correspondent, if you are communicating with someone, no, I don't think you need to change anything.
What kind of privacy do prisoners have in regards to their mail? Does it mean...
Not a lot.
Yeah, can they check the mail?
They can check any time.
Okay.
Yeah, no. And that's why you have to be very careful. You know, like, for example, lawyers sometimes they say, oh, look, can you give this to my girlfriend? Or you might be visiting them in the cells, or you might be visiting at the prison. You've got to be really strong and say, look, can't do it. Sorry. You've got to go through the channels. But their mail is open slather. They are, you know, the prison are entitled to check their mail, anybody's mail, to monitor that it's not in breach of correction.
Next, I spoke with People Against Prison Aotearoa's Emily Rakte on how changes to the legislation would affect the prison system and whether this is an issue for the law or for better corrections management.
People Against Prisons Aotearoa run the Prisoner Correspondence Network. It's the largest pen pal network in the country, and it connects people on the inside with people on the outside. And that's a really, really important part of helping prisoners become part of society again once they do leave prison. And we should bear in mind that almost everybody in the country who is in prison leaves prison eventually. And I think all of us agree that when people come back out into communities that they need social connections here if they're going to become part of society again. So mail is a really important part of how that process should happen. Now, the situation at the moment is that corrections have got basically, in terms of legislation, power to do anything they want with regards to mail. They can refuse to send or bring in mail for any reason that they deem appropriate. So as far as Prisoner Correspondence Network is concerned, there's no call for any legislative changes here whatsoever.
So I guess in your stance, Jacinda's statement is just coming in real strong and there's no need to make it more specific.
No, look, the crimes that this person has been put in prison for are some of the most atrocious that we've seen in this country since the era of the land wars. And I don't think anybody is approaching this conversation about prisoner mail rights from the point of view that fascists should have the ability to propagandise from prison cell. But what we're saying is that there's a very real danger that if there are more legislative checks put in place that make it harder for people to stay in touch with their loved ones who are in prison, then we're going to make prison system even less rehabilitative than it already is. And that's something that we can ill afford when 70% of Māori people who go to prison are reconvicted within 2 years and sent back to prison. That's a serious problem that needs solving. And anything that cuts people off more from their loved ones outside is going to make that problem worse.
Maybe this is beyond legislation, but then what protections need to be put in place so hate speech or abusive mail threatening content is not being sent out from prisons?
Yeah, I mean, this comes down to, are corrections equipped to deal with fascist prisoners or prisoners who use white supremacist terrorism as a strategy? And the case seems to be that no, they don't really know what to do about this. The fact that they weren't already looking at this prisoner's mail, we know for a fact that people who use our pen pal network have their mail looked at, shows that they haven't taken this problem seriously. And that's a major issue with corrections. If we're meant to be trusting them with keeping us safe from white supremacists, and entrusting them to, in some way, rehabilitate perpetrators of violence who are coming from other communities all around the country. This is purely a problem with corrections not even following the laws that already exist. So they need to get their house in order before they start saying that there are any legislative changes that are necessary.
Does the managing team of prisons need to step up?
I mean, I think the fact that they didn't shows how useless they are at their jobs and how prisons are really not a very good way of dealing with social problems. The fact that they couldn't identify that a man who committed a massacre and posted a manifesto about it on the internet might have some interest in continuing to propagandize now that he's been taken to prison shows that they have no understanding of how these kinds of groups function or how they recruit or how they conduct propaganda. We need to take white supremacy more seriously than this. And the fact that corrections isn't doing it just shows how utterly incompetent they are.
Mm. And some arguments in favour of a legislative change are saying that the law is outdated, that it's 15 years and that the digital landscape is different. Do you have a response to that kind of argument?
So there is already an e-prisoner mailing system which allows you to send an email to a prison and it will be printed off and given to a prisoner as physical mail. So in terms of the legislation being outdated, maybe in the sense that corrections infrastructure for allowing prisoners access to the outside using new digital technologies, that's outdated for sure. But there haven't been any changes that I can think of in terms of how society functions now that the current law wouldn't already manage. Ultimately, this is an attempt on corrections' part to save face by saying it's not our fault that we didn't look at the mail that a convicted terrorist was sending out. It's actually a legislative issue. It's not a legislative issue. They're just useless.
Any other thoughts you've been having about in terms of hate speech or freedom of speech and how that's balanced in terms of our legislation? I know that's a bit of a broader question, but I think what's happened with the alleged Christchurch shooter, but also previously a less high profile case, but a woman receiving threatening abusive mail from a family member in jail. What does that say about that balance of protecting rights, but also freedom of speech?
Yeah, I mean, it really shows that corrections are really, really bad at running mail services for prisoners. But one of the fundamental responsibilities that corrections identified for itself in its new Hokairangi report yesterday, which is their new strategy, allegedly, for preventing the disproportionate reincarceration of Māori, is that we need to maintain whakapapa ties between people who are in prison and people who are outside. But people in prison aren't being rehabilitated meaningfully. People who are in prison don't have meaningful access to their whānau. And there's no way for them to maintain healthy social ties in that context. What we need is rehabilitation in the community in a way which is supervised and which is safe for everyone, rather than just putting people in prison cell, hoping that somehow that will make them better. And when it doesn't, saying that, well, that's the fault of individuals and not the fault of how we deal with crime. The problem is actually a structural one. It's a systemic one, and it's one that's not going to go away until we deal with the fundamental social problems that face us as a deeply unequal society.
Do you think it's likely there will be a legislative change, or is this just a big... It sounds like the legislation is fine, is it?
Yeah, corrections has arbitrary power over mail already at the moment. They can withhold mail for any reason already. So there are no further legislative powers that can be conferred upon them. What we need is for them to actually do their jobs and consider whether or not an alleged terrorist would be interested in propagandizing. I think everyone listening knows that that's obviously what was going to happen. The fact that they weren't doing it shows that they're incompetent. Any legislative change isn't going to make them less incompetent. The responsibility is on them to show us that they can do that. And trying to offset responsibility onto Parliament and creating some new kind of legislation is only going to make it harder for the around 10,000 people from communities all around the country who are sent to prison every year to stay in touch with their family.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.